This is Adrian from the Green Screen of Death. I just wanted to record a brief intro for this episode. Over the course of Fantastic Fest 2017, I interviewed a bunch of friends just to get their perspective on the festival, ask about movies they enjoy, and basically talk about anything that comes to mind. I think there's a lot of really good stuff in here, and this year I was more conscious of branching out, getting to talk to more people. So I would love to have interviewed all of you, but this is the select few, and I hope you enjoy. Alright, so this is Adrian with the Green Screen of Death here at Fantastic Fest Day 5. This is my first interview conducted with one of my friends so far, so you get to be the lucky first person. I'm here with Emily. I want you to introduce yourself and tell my listeners, how many times have you been here so far?
Hey, I'm Emily Sears. This is my sixth year at Fantastic Fest.
Cool. Cool. What keeps you coming back to Fantastic Fest?
Great movies and great people overall. The community here is amazing. It's movie camp. I know we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That's my favorite time of year. It's like Christmas for me. So.
I think that's like a common thread, I think, for all of us so far. This is your first year as press, right? Well, how's that been for you?
It's been good, good. I got to see a couple things before, which made it easy to write that up. But writing during the fest is interesting for me because it's a quicker turnaround. So, yeah. But I'm enjoying it. I love to be part of it and be able to champion some movies that I really like. So that's a lot of fun.
That's cool. And we met last year and we had a really good conversations about stuff like American Honey. I got to read some of your pieces on your blog, so I just wanted to say it's really cool watching you like go from that to writing for BMD, and I think that's awesome.
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying it a lot. A lot has happened for me in a year. I started the blog and was just kind of writing my own experiences, and then it grew from there. So it's been wonderful.
That's cool. So we're on day five, so we've all seen a lot of movies by now. What are some of the movies you're going to go home and tell people about?
My favorite still so far was Pincushion. Have you seen that one yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, it's really great. My review of that one just went up today, actually. I think it plays again on Tuesday. And it's like a coming-of-age tale, but really kind of quirky and fun. I think you'll like it. And I just got out of Anna and the Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was really fun. I liked it a lot.
It's charming.
It is very charming. Reminded me a lot of like the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've heard
stuff
that.
Like that. It's like a long form version of that. Really fun. And Thelma was one of the first ones I saw. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Very interesting sci-fi.
It almost felt like a superhero origin story without a superhero.
Yeah, thematically I really enjoyed it. It was very on the nose, but I thought it was, I enjoyed the visuals and the imagery that they.
Yeah. What's your guess for the secret screening tonight?
I don't know, and I didn't get in, so
no,
I know I'm sad, but I wanted it really to be Shape of the Water, the Guillermo del Toro, but I don't think that's going to be it. I don't know, we'll see.
Oh,
I can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, for sure. Of all the years that you've been coming to Fantastic Fest, are there any events you attended that kind of stand out?
The debates, the first year we went, or the first or second, the first time we went to the debates, it was fun because Keanu was there and everything.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was great. Got to high-five Keanu Reeves. I mean, you can't top that. It's just, everything's special, though. Just standing here in the lobby feels like an event at Fantastic Fest.
That's true. It really is. That's true. I guess we can start to wrap things up a little bit here. But before I let you go, if anybody's listening who hasn't been here before, what would you say to somebody who's on the fence about coming here?
I would say that it is, like I said, it's the best week of the year for me. It's like Christmas, and I get to spend time with friends that I've made over the years, and we talk all year long about this, and you see movies here that'll end up being the best movie you see all year, so... It's worth the trip, it's worth the long hours, it's worth everything.
It's worth the lack of sleep.
It is, it definitely is.
What's a survival tip you can offer people?
hydrate and sleep in on all the mornings that you can, like as long as you can. But
cool. All right, cool. Well, yeah, and as we mentioned before, you write for Birth, Movies, Death. Can you talk a little bit about where people can find you online and your Twitter account?
Sure. You can find me at Emily_Dawn on Twitter and Instagram, and my blog also is EmilyDawnWrites.com, and then on Birth, Movies, Death.
Awesome. Thanks very much for doing this.
Thank you, Adrian. Thanks for having me.
This is Adrian, Green Screen of Death, Day 5, Fantastic Fest 2017 edition. Here with a good friend of ours from Movie Bears podcast, Jim Poliafago. I want you to say a quick hello and talk about your first experience at Fantastic Fest.
Sure, Adrian. First, thanks for inviting me to make some comments on the show. It's great seeing you again at a festival. This is like the third... Maybe the third time we've actually seen you at a festival?
I'm not second.
Second? All right. Well, and first time meeting Bill, of course. So it's great to meet you guys and all the friends here. And this is the first time, like you said, for me at this festival. I think it's really awesome. I love the fact that it's all in one venue.
Yeah.
All the fans are here. It's an interesting crowd. The other event that we met you at, of course, was South By.
Yeah.
And that's a lot different than this. First of all, it's a lot more spread out. Secondly, I think it's a little bit more, how do I put this? Not to be insensitive, but that one's much more, I think, diverse than this. This is much more of a kind of a nerd fest. Definitely a sausage fest, as you can tell by the lines at the men's room. Not the ladies room, which are usually backed up, with the men's room here. But yeah, we're having a blast. I'm like, I don't know, 16-17 movies in at this point. I'm not trying to push my limits too much. I'm not shooting for any number, but I'm just enjoying the experience. I've seen some great films. There's been a few films that haven't, you know, that I don't want to shout from the rooftops, but probably 80% of what I've seen has been really, really good, high-quality stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of the programming team here. They always seem to program really great stuff here. So what are some of your favorites so far?
Man, I saw this small film from the UK, and I'm sorry, I can't come up with director off the top of my head. A film called Pincushion. It's about this mother and daughter unit, basically, and they're living together in this situation. They don't have a lot of money. They've just moved to a new town. They're kind of the outsiders trying to fit in. And there's the movie's really about bullying and the internal effects that can cause. I really love that film. It's a really personal film with great characters, which is right up my alley. I loved The Killing of a Sacred Deer. It's probably one of my favorites. That's a really, of course, Yorgos Lanthimos. I mean, really dark stuff told in a really... quirky way, some dark comedy thrown in there, you know, the really deadpan deliveries. He's definitely got that style. I'm still trying to unpack that movie and see where it fits, but it's definitely near the top for me. I saw a cool little documentary called Brimstone and Glory, which is about this community in Mexico that does this like national pyrotechnics festival. And they bring out these massive... I mean, these guys are working all year to make fireworks. Very dangerous stuff, and it shows some of that. But it also, it's a beautiful exposition of, I called it, an explosion of light and color and music. If you've seen Beasts of the Southern Wild, which we talked about a little bit, one of my favorite movies from, 2013, maybe?
I
can't remember.
Around there.
The guys who did the music for that did the music for this, and it's really beautiful. Great little documentary. I'm trying to think what else I've seen that really...
Bodied.
Oh, yes.
Talk about Bodied.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah.
Bodied is fantastic. It's a... it's a movie about... it's about these people who do... rap battles, I guess that's what it's called.
Battle rap. Yeah.
Something, a world that I kind of knew existed, but I didn't know much about it. This is a movie that comes at you full force. it touches on all kinds of taboos in society today.
Yeah, yeah.
Racism, misogyny, yeah. Homophobia, transphobia, you name yeah. it. It's got it all. And it puts it right in your face, and it kind of like makes you confront it, which is kind of in line with my beliefs too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in like hiding things away. Like, if we've got issues, we gotta you know, bring it out. And that's what this movie
head
does.
Yeah.
And I love that about this movie. I think I don't know how they're gonna market this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know who's gonna see this movie without. I can see people. I can see a theater full of people that's not a festival crowd. You know, having walkouts in this movie because
yeah.
there's some offensive stuff in it, and if you get easily offended, you don't have the skin or either the thick skin or the understanding to know what the movie's trying to do. I think the movie's just trying to shake us up and get us to realize that hey, these are words and words matter, right? And it does it in such an entertaining way. Also, I mean, this movie's funny. It's dramatic. I loved it. So yeah.
Cool. Great, I was curious to get your opinion on the homophobia in the movie. Like, how did you react to that?
Yeah. At first, it was really strange because I don't want to. Let's put it this way: they talk about the N-word in the movie,
yeah.
and they also use the F-word in the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Which
a lot can argue that each of those are just as hurtful.
They are just as hurtful, and it's funny because like sometimes the racism stuff gets more of a spotlight than the homophobia stuff, and it within certain communities. This movie touches on that too, how like certain words are acceptable within certain communities if certain people use them, but others cannot.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the same way. You know, it goes really wide.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I definitely want to see that movie again. I hope it gets some kind of release.
Yeah.
The name of it is Bodied. And if you've never heard of battle rap, then this movie will shake you.
It'll flip you upside down for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're doing the full fest, right?
I am doing the full fest. We're now into the second half.
Yeah, how do you feel?
I feel great. Cool. I just hope, I hope that the quality of the movies that I pick continues. Sometimes you're picking movies blind, and you never know what you're going to get. I'm here for the long run. Like I said, I'm not here to set any movie seeing record, but I'll see my share. And I'm just hoping that the quality stays. You know, it keeps me interested.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. I guess we can start to wrap it up a little bit here, but. I mentioned before you're one of three on the Movie Bears podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Movie Bears podcast and where they can find you?
Yeah, it's myself, Jim, and then we have Will Lindis and my husband, Brad Harris. We do a weekly podcast. We go live on YouTube every week on our YouTube channel, Movie Bears Podcast, and then we're available, of course, wherever you find your podcast, whether it be iTunes or, you know, Stitcher Radio, and all those outlets. But we're a bunch of gay dudes, bears, it's called, in the community.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't let that scare you away. We're just regular dudes interviewing movies reviewing movies and interviewing with friends. And I thank you guys for...
Oh yeah,
for being good friends first of all, podcast friends, both of you, and inviting me on the show. Thanks.
Cool, awesome, man. Appreciate it. It's always good to see you.
Great.
Take care.
Great to see you guys.
Okay, so we're on day 5, Fantastic Fest. I'm here. How do I pronounce your name? Annick?
Annick Manor. Annick? Yeah.
Okay.
Annick, yeah.
You're a programmer here at Fantastic Fest, right? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into that and how long you've been doing it for?
Well, I've been programming Fantastic Fest. It's my third year now. It started really me meeting Tim League and Can 4 years ago.
Okay.
And just developing, you know, this friendship with him. And then 3 years ago, I just basically asked him, you know, are you looking for programmers?
Yeah.
And he said yes. So,
oh, cool.
You know, I wrote him a long email telling him what I could bring to the table. And that was it. And I was in. And I've been doing it since then. traveling the world. Oh. The thing is that I have my own company on the side. I'm also an acquisition consultant.
Oh, wow.
So I go to all the major festivals. Yeah. And so this is great because I can combine this activity with Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
And
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really cool seeing you do the intros this year, because you bring a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of knowledge, so it's been fun watching that. How do you prepare for the intros?
Well, I love doing this, yeah. But even though I may seem really cool and all that, I am extremely nervous every single time I walk into one of the theaters.
Okay.
Because, the crowd is great, the audience is really amazing, welcoming. But I'm always afraid to just, make a fool of myself. And I don't know if, this is a place where you can, I could probably just go in there drunk and people would cheer for me. But I take this very seriously. And also because, the filmmakers deserve so much respect from us. Yeah. So in terms of the Q&As, I do prepare.
Yeah.
Some of the films are a little harder to prepare because I don't want to have the generic questions.
Yeah.
I don't want to have just a question like, so what did you shoot on? Or, what type of camera did you use? What was the budget?
Yeah.
I try to really get into more profound questions.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a social message.
Yeah.
Something that really is, that personal to the director.
Yeah.
So usually what I do is the intro is pretty easy when you have a director because you just quickly intro the film and then you let the director really talk about it.
Yeah.
And then I spend the time of the film while it's playing to sit down and then really think about my questions.
Oh, cool.
And then look for, maybe subjects on the internet. Like I go if there were interviews before.
Yeah.
That's how I prepare.
That's cool. You do a wonderful job of that. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
I was also going to ask you, before the festival started, I'm sure you maybe had a few films in mind that you're like, I can't wait to see the audience react to this. Were there any titles that you were like really excited to see how we would react?
Absolutely. And every programmer, even though all the films here, and I really want to emphasize on that, all the films that are playing here are amazing films. But all of us as programmers, we do once in a while find a film that we bring in. And really support and love. The one that I really deeply fell in love with is a film called Hagazusa.
Okay.
And it's a student film. It's the director's first feature, his graduation film from film school. And it's on such a level in terms of, narrative and cinematography that I'm really, really curious, to hear about how the audience sees this film. And the director is arriving today, so we're going to do a Q&A after the second screening. And then the other film is called Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Mexican feature. That was a phenomenal film.
Yeah.
I was floored. I was crying through the whole movie. I think probably within the first 5 minutes. It's a conversation we all need to have, and we all need to... These are the stories that we need to hear about. And that's what I love about Fantastic Fest. There's always movies that have a strong social message that I appreciate, and I can go back and tell my friends and family, go see this movie, support this movie.
Yeah, totally.
So, that's awesome.
Totally. No, and this is a film that, as you said, has a strong social message. It talks about a group of kids, that is a collateral damage, from cartel wars in Mexico.
Yeah.
And cartel films usually have a tendency to play in the adult world.
They do.
And do not talk about these children. So,
yeah.
And it's also a very personal project, of the director.
Yeah.
But when I was preparing for the Q&A yesterday, I was sneaking into the corridor and just looking at the film. It was the last 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
And I started sobbing again.
Yeah.
And I had to walk up and down the corridor because I felt like I have a Q&A. I cannot go in there and cry.
Yeah.
So that's the impact that it had on me.
Oh, wow. That's thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. There's also, just before I let you go, I want to ask you just a little bit about, just before we started talking, I saw my friend Jenny post pictures. You went on some kind of run the other day, right?
Yes.
Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, a few years back, I injured my knee. I had surgery, and so I couldn't walk for 6 months. And so I had to learn to walk again, actually, on one leg, and it humbles you. And, you know, you take walking for granted.
Yeah.
And so after that, I started running. And also because I spend so much time on the road, traveling, you know, airports, planes, I take my running shoes everywhere I go now.
Okay.
And I was checking out the runs, you know, in Austin during Fantastic Fest, and as I said, foolishly registered for it.
Yeah.
The day after the Fantastic debates that ended up at 2:20 in the morning,
yeah,
and only had 3.5 hours of sleep.
Oh no!
But I was really committed, and I was like, "I'm gonna run for all of us for Fantastic Fest."
Yeah,
because you know, the community is just great, and I wanted to make this something personal, but also share that with everybody. I mean, Jenny was kind enough, and she just posted those pictures, and they're really fun. And she came out and supported me. She didn't have to.
That's cool.
But that was absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, thanks very much for all you do. It's people like you who make sure that all of us have a lot of fun here.
Thank you.
And I felt nothing but love through this whole festival. I've been here for 5 years. And I can't wait to come back.
Thanks. I mean, I really want to say also that, you know, it's, I mean, you say we are the ones, you know, who bring you all these films, but the community, you guys, are the ones who watch the films. And when you come up to us and tell us how much you love the film, that means a lot to us, because it really validates, you know, the efforts we're making and gives us energy and really the will to just keep going and bringing you even better films for the next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, like, when you're sharing a movie you love, you're sharing it because you maybe see a part of yourself in that, like, because the highest forms of art hold a mirror up to you, and even if it's just the one little element you can relate to, it's almost like you're sharing yourself too.
Absolutely.
So that's the way I always feel about it back at home.
Again, like, thanks and please, like, to everyone, if you feel like you want to talk about a film, or even if you hated it, just you know, let us know, because we'd love to hear that.
For sure. All right, well, I'll let you get going, and
thank you very much. Cheers. Thanks.
All right. Okay, so with this is Adrian. We're on day 7 of Fantastic Fest. Feels like day 35. Here with my good buddy Jay. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell our listeners how many times you've been to Fantastic Fest?
Hi, my name is Jay Hawkinson. This is my 8th Fantastic Fest. So it's been quite a ride to get to this point, but it's been another great Fantastic Fest. Absolutely worth the trip. Worth the effort. Lots of great films, lots of great people. So, happy to be here.
That's awesome, man. So, how far do you travel from?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
So, it's not too bad. I've made so many friends in Austin from going to this festival that I actually usually come to Austin 2 or 3 times a year.
Oh, cool.
To visit.
That's awesome. So, you've been here, you said, 8 times. What are some of the most memorable films you've seen previous to this Fantastic Fest?
Wow, there's been lots of great films. Lots of, you know, more so than films, but just great moments, like things that you experience at Fantastic Fest that you just don't, you know, it'd be very hard to replicate elsewhere just because of the enthusiasm, the guests that come in. You know, I mean, I can just remember even, like, my very first Fantastic Fest, and Roger Corman was here.
Oh, yeah.
And to literally run into him, bump into him in the lobby at the Paramount and shake his hand and tell him, you know, just thank you for what you've done, you know. And then, you know, then, you know, minutes later, he's up on stage, like, receiving an award, a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, you know, honestly,
cool.
Those kind of moments are, you know, why to come, why you come to this festival is to experience those things. So it's more about the moments, you know, because the films you'll be able to see, but it's the moments that you'll never have elsewhere.
That's cool, man. And I think you touched on something I think is really cool about this fest, like seeing the filmmakers or the actors, producers that you have admired for years, or maybe you just admired their film moments before you see them in the lobby, and they're here watching movies with the rest of us, and I think that's really cool. What are some movies you've seen this year that you're going to go home and recommend to people?
You know, one that really pops out is Joseph Kahn's Bodied. That movie is it's just a movie that it's a battle rap movie, but you know, that's really simplifying really what it is, and the social commentary that it brings, and especially in the climate that we're living in today. And it is incredible. Just what he was able to accomplish. It's an achievement unto itself, and I think that it is a movie that I would want everyone to see, and I hope that everyone has the opportunity to see. So that's definitely high on my list. I also liked the Thai movie Bad Genius, which is essentially a heist film, but with university exams. It's amazing the amount of tension that they're able to do in a movie like this with this very young cast, which, you know, super impressive to see. So, you know, those are two that really stand out for me.
Well, that's cool. So, Bodied, I'm right there with you, man. Like, we talked briefly about it. I love that movie. I think it's in my top three right now. What was I going to say now? Now, you mentioned events. Have you attended any of the events in the past, like the feud or debates or anything in general?
Yeah, when I first started attending, you know, I saw some of the debates, which were crazy. And, it was a different setup then, so you could literally walk over to the debates from the theater because of how things were set up then. And went to the feud in the very beginning, and it was just craziness. I mean, it's pure chaos. Like, the whole chaos reigns that came from out of this festival. I mean, the feud was absolute chaos. It was just, I mean, just insanity. And it was great to go and be a part of that energy. So, yeah, so I've done a lot of those events. I've reached the point now where I think I've done most of those to where, you know, now I'm primarily just going to the films. Of course, I'll be at the closing night party, but yeah, the events are something that if you haven't been to Fantastic Fest, highly recommend experiencing them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I guess we can start to wrap it up here. So can you tell people where they can find you online and where they can find your work online?
Sure. So you can find me, the easiest place to find me is on Twitter. My handle is Sleestack with two Ks on Twitter. I'm also on Letterboxd, same username, Sleestack. Some of my writings on Bloody Disgusting that I've written. I wrote a few reviews from previous Fantastic Fest that are there. And those are probably the easiest places to find.
Cool, man. Well, thanks very much for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, this is Adrian. We're at Day 7 Fantastic Fest. Here with a really good friend of mine, Heather. You're one of the writers that I really admire here every year. And, this is your second Fantastic Fest, right?
It is, yes.
So why don't you introduce yourself and just tell our listeners how you got interested in Fantastic Fest.
I am a 10-year veteran of writing about horror and sci-fi. And I've been coming to South by Southwest for this next year will be my 8th year. And Fantastic Fest has always been sort of a bucket list festival for me because it was kind of always billed as the fun festival where you get to kind of hang out and watch movies, which I'm not really good at fun festivals because I'm not really good at fun, but but it just seemed like such a really cool opportunity and the chance to be able to sort of spend a whole week, you know, celebrating the kind of movies that I love and that sort of independent spirit and those sort of avant-garde, you know, views. It's just something that's always really spoken to me as a film fan, so... You know, this is my second year, and it was just as much fun as the first, although a little more exhausting.
Yeah, that's right. Prior to the festival starting, all of us had a really tough issues we had to deal with coming here. I was just curious if you can talk about your decision to be here and also talk about some changes you'd like to see moving forward for Fantastic Fest that'll make you feel more comfortable being here and to continue to promote this festival.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, the reason I wrestled with it is because I felt sort of an obligation to other women. I didn't want it to seem like me coming here was just dismissing the things that they've been through because that's never been my intention at all. And it's not something I talk about much, but I am something of a survivor of a similar situation, which is something I'm going to talk about in the near future, just probably not this week because I'm way too exhausted. But I just felt like, should I even be doing this? Is this the right thing to do? And then for me, it really boiled down to the filmmakers who are, you know, coming from all over the world to have their films shown here, who are so proud and have no say or no sort of, you know, involvement with anything that's sort of gone on in this community. And I didn't feel like it was fair to them because there's so many films that rely on, you know, press and stuff like that to really help kind of get the word out about their movies. And I don't want to, like, grandstand and say, like, oh, our jobs are so important or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes just one review, one article you write actually can help a filmmaker, you know, push their movie forward and maybe get it sold or get it in front of somebody, you know, who maybe wasn't even thinking about looking at it before. So for me, my duty was for the movies. Like, I wanted to make sure that I came out here because there are filmmakers who really deserve to have their films put on a platform, and for me to sort of take that platform away, I didn't feel like it was fair. Personally, I don't feel unsafe at Fantastic Fest. I mean, I've met so many lovely people, but I do know that there's a lot of women who have struggled with a lot of crazy things, and I think first and foremost, sort of eliminating a few people from the equation this year, I think really helped. I think what they need to do is, at this point, we've seen a lot of statements, we've seen a lot of quote-unquote, you know, mentions of conversations. I think at this point, it's conversations are done. I think there needs to be some sort of action. I don't know what that is. But I feel like that the sort of silver lining to this whole situation is that it's a chance for people to realize what's been going on for so long, figure out a way to sort of do something about it. And, you know, hopefully next year, like, this is all going to be sort of, you know, a distant, horrific memory in terms of, you know, the stuff that's sort of been hanging over the festival this year. Because there are so many good people here. There's more good people than there aren't good people. Yeah. And it's just, it's tough to see a lot of folks really struggling with it. And I know, again, it's like, oh, you get to go watch films, you're just, you know, how hard or whatever. But, it, you know, when you don't have a lot else, you know, and you, and this is sort of your retreat from the ugliness of the world, you know, it really sucks when that sort of seeps in. So I'm just hoping, you know, at some point, Tim Lee figures out what it is he needs to do in order to fix situations, you know, that are occurring at the Draft House. And, you know, frankly, the quicker Harry Knowles goes away, the better for all of us. And yeah. I think that's, I mean, that's really the only solutions I have, because, I mean, I don't even know what the solutions are.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no real clear solution right now. And I wanted to ask you about that because I respect and appreciate your opinion and really enjoy your work. Like, you're one of the hardest workers I've seen at this festival.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm just a masochist. Like, I just don't know how to not work. So one of these days I have to learn how to pull that back a little bit. But until then, I'll be doing these things and, you know, just keep trying to keep doing what I'm doing. So,
yeah. One thing that I'm looking forward to is following Kristen Bell as the leader of this festival moving forward. Like, I really hope that she just takes the reins. And as long as she's one of our leaders here at this festival, I'm cool with that. Like, I've always seen her as one of the leaders and kind of just people you can look up to at this festival. So I'm really excited for her to take control. That's what I'd love to see from this festival. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the movies you've seen, because you mentioned this is a great forum and platform for us to champion smaller films that maybe don't have the marketing budget of Disney or Universal or something like that. So what are some of the smaller films you're going to be writing about and giving a voice to during and after this festival?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't even know if it's necessarily a small film, just because I know it's coming out soon, but Super Dark Times was a movie that completely wrecked me in the best possible way. There was so much I related to about that movie. We talked a little bit about Anna and Apocalypse, which if somebody would have told me that one of my favorite movies of the year would have been a Scottish zombie musical centered around Christmas, like, I would have been like, what are you on?
Yeah.
And where do I get some? So, and I just thought that was, I love movies that can show ingenuity. They think the biggest sort of crime any movie can commit is just to rest on its laurels and not take chances. And I think for me, that's what I love about films that are at Fantastic Fest, because whether or not you love or you hate them, most of these films are taking chances.
Yeah.
You know, like something like Revenge, which, you know, and I'm blanking on the filmmaker's name, but she mentioned how she had wrestled with the idea of coming to this festival with everything going on. And I love the fact that she did, because she realized it was essential. We needed to confront this, and her film was a really great way to sort of do that. And I think it was a really, you know, a really cool move on her part, because she could have pulled out just as easily, and I don't think anybody would have thought any differently.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad it was here, because, again, you know, we've seen sort of like, you know, rape revenge films before, but the way that she does it and completely turns it on its head, you know, if I can borrow a cliche, is just absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, if that's her first feature, I can't even imagine like what her like 10th feature is going to look like. Like, I've seen directors have been directing 20 years who haven't done as much as she was able to do with that film. I was also a really, really big fan, trying to think of, I'm a big fan of documentaries, and I loved King Coen because I love sort of that sort of that time of film. Like, I wish I could have, I was sort of alive at the end of that time of film, and I just wish I could have been around more for like that sort of early 70s, late 60s type stuff, because I just, it's such a special era in cinema, and I'm sort of bummed that I missed out. And every time I watch something that goes back to it, it makes me a little bit sad, but then I'd be like 80 or something now, so. Trying to think of what else I've seen that I really love, because I'm like 17 movies in, which isn't a lot, because I know people are like 40 movies in already.
Well, I'll give you a second to think about that, and I'll just say something like about King Coen. I think what was really cool about him is he was progressive almost without realizing it at the time. He was just like, you know, people were commenting saying that he's making blaxploitation films, and he was like, no, everything's exploitation. Like, he didn't want to put people in a category like that, and I appreciated that.
Well, yeah, and it's funny, like, watching that really reminded me of sort of when, you know, Romero would always talk about Night of the Living Dead. Like, he didn't cast a black actor in the lead role because he was necessarily trying to push societal norms or anything. He cast the best actor for the role, and then the rest of society sort of was like, whoa, what are you doing? And I just, and it's interesting to me that, like, a lot of these guys, maybe when you're in the middle of it, maybe they don't see it. You know, you can't really see the forest from the trees. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, hindsight, you can always, is 20/20, you can always kind of get that perspective. But there's nobody like Larry. And I don't think there'll ever be anybody like Larry. Yeah. And it's, I just, I'm still blown away by the fact that he's like, he still writes every single day. Yeah. Like, if I was his age and I had that big, beautiful house that I didn't have to work, I'd be, oops, sorry. I would be just like, all right, I'm just going to sit down, drink some iced tea, and swim in my pool all day. But not him. He's always writing, which is so cool.
That's super cool. Well, I better let you get going. I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it. I'm always interested in what you have to say, so to get you on my show is a huge deal for me. So
thank you.
I appreciate it. And why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you online, some of your work, and also your Twitter handle.
Sure. You can find me over at dailydead.com. I also post some sort of miscellaneous stuff over on my blog, which is thehorrorchick.com. As far as Twitter, I am at thehorrorchick. And also, I have a Twitter account for my upcoming book, shameless plug, sorry.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I should have some news on when it's going to come out. They told me before Halloween, but I'm getting nervous now. But you can find that over at Monster Squad FX. So hopefully I'll have some news on that soon.
Okay, thanks very much for doing this. Take care.
Thank you. You too. This was fun.
All right, this is Adrian here on day 7, Fantastic Fest. Finally here, my good buddy, Rob Hunter, a.k.a. Fake Rob Hunter. How's it going, man?
It's going very well, Adrian. Thank you for asking.
I've tried to get you on my podcast a few times now, and you've declined. You're the only person who's declined, but things have changed. What's changed?
Well, I did some research and discovered that you actually did have a podcast. I never quite believed you until this year.
Okay.
But now that I know it's a real thing, I decided to go ahead and say yes.
Awesome. I appreciate it, man. Like, this is huge for us. This is like, you're a whale.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Not even close.
Okay. So we'll stop there. Thanks for doing this, man.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah. You've been here the whole festival. You're leaving tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
What are some movies that, what are your, let's say your top movies right now?
Currently, I would say Thelma is a big one.
Okay.
It's from the guy who did Oslo, August 31st.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of movie. It's a drama / supernatural, I guess, coming of age. People who liked Raw, I think, might dig it. It doesn't have the same visceral, like, kind of like, you know, violence necessarily, but it has the same kind of setup as far as like a young woman goes off to school and then experiences change. And it's long, but I think it gives a lot of time to the character. You really fall into the story, into the characters, and it's got a really good gut punch of an ending that just leaves you sitting there thinking it's both a victory for certain characters and a nightmare for everybody else, which is just, I think, fantastic. Did you see that one?
I did. I think it went over my head. Like, I'm okay with saying that. I need to see it again. I enjoyed, like, probably about the first half. Yeah. I was like, I had a tough time getting through the rest of it. But this is why I do this, so I can get ideas and I can pretend to like it or something.
I think it's a movie that definitely, the middle part especially, it sinks into the character, you know, the main character, Thelma, the title character, and spends a lot of time with her in moments and in, you know, turns in her life that aren't necessarily supernatural or you would think of as plot-oriented, but I think it all adds texture to her backstory and also where she's going in the future, and so I think it's super important, that middle section that is just a lot of character stuff, yeah. Because I think it feeds and it helps. Helps you understand the beginning and the end, I think, better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So what else have you enjoyed?
I love Thoroughbreds, but I saw that at Sundance originally, so it's still great. I watched it again here, yeah. And I still love it to death. So, and that one's coming out, I think, soon, so everybody should go see that. It's just a great little movie about two teenage girls who are maybe a bit of a nightmare for the world at large. But it's a strong story about friendship and about, you know, understanding yourself and both your limitations and your interests and how far you would go for yourself and for somebody else, and how those things don't always align. It's just really well done, well acted, and a tremendous movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've been coming here for a number of years now, right? How did you first get interested, and how many times have you been here?
2008, I think, was my first year. So whatever that works out to mathematically.
Yeah.
I just love it because I love movies in general, but I love genre movies. And obviously, this is the best, to my eye, the best festival in and at least in the U.S. For genre movies. I'm becoming a big fan of Fantasia as well in Montreal. So we'll say for the U.S., this is probably the best that I've attended for genre movies. It just is, it's a festival that loves movies as much as I do, loves the people that are here, gives a good variety of movies. And unlike a lot of festivals, the movies that play here are, a good chunk of them are ones that are never going to play, you know, they're not going to get released here officially. They're not going to be in theaters. It may get a DVD release, but that's about it. And so each year you walk away with movies that you've seen here, and you know that if you want to see them again, you're going to basically have to import them because they're just not going to be available elsewhere. And I think that's a lot of fun to see these movies on the big screen that, you know, aren't going to be out there on the big screen place. Results in the U.S. anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Are there any movies at this festival that you feel especially connected to and want to promote because of that reason? Because they may not see a VOD release or DVD release, and you may have to import them.
One that I would give a shout out to is Anna and the Apocalypse. I know it's already gotten a lot of press out of here. I adore this movie. It was one of my you know, happier discoveries. It's a Scottish zombie comedy musical.
Yeah.
That I think is the best UK zombie comedy ever made.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
It is.
Anyways, it's just so full of joy, but then also the humanity. Even though it's a movie about the undead, the humanity in it is so great that whether they're singing or conversing or whatever, there are beats in the movie that really hit you emotionally, which you don't often find in horror movies, comedies, let alone mixes of the two. And so I think it succeeds really well. You really get into these characters. You care about them. You care about what happens to them. Plus, it's a ton of fun. It's a very, very funny movie. Plus, the songs are great. They're like you know, cheer-worthy, fist-pumping songs that you walk out and you immediately want to go buy the soundtrack album. It's a ton of fun, and hopefully it'll get picked up and get like a good release here in the U.S.
Yeah, that was a really fun movie. I liked the first half.
Adrian, I don't know about you. I don't know.
That's right.
There's a, let's see, what else is standout? There's a French revenge thriller. It's a rape revenge movie, which is not everyone's cup of tea, understandably. But it is probably the most attractively shot rape revenge movie I've ever seen. It's a gorgeous movie. The majority of it is set like in the daytime, just in rural, I don't even know where the hell they are. I'm assuming it's rural France, but I don't know. The landscapes are tremendous. The people are just, again, shot beautifully. Everything about it, the sound design is tremendous. There's some you know, issues here and there with it, and it's wholly unrealistic. I mean, it's not a believable second in this movie.
Okay.
But it is still a good, just like, you know, thrilling, highly satisfying, you know, revenge thriller. So I'd say keep an eye out for that one too. I don't know if that one's going to get picked up here either, but it's definitely one we're seeking out, despite its generic title of revenge.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. One thing I was curious about, because you mentioned Sundance and you mentioned like South By and Fantastic Fest and Fantasia. So you clearly go to a lot of different film festivals.
Are you judging me?
I am judging you. Yeah, I am quietly judging you.
That's okay. I'll allow it.
What are things that are different here than compared to other festivals?
It's everything is in one theater, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
For just the geography of actually, you know, existing around. It's easier to get to things. As long as you can stay in this one location, you get access to it. It's easy to get to all the different movies. Because of that, it also, like the press work with the various, you know, people, the volunteers, and the actual PR companies working here, it makes it easier because they're all centrally located. But on top of that, like I said, it just has, with the number of movies that are playing here, you get a lot of ones that you're just not going to see showing up elsewhere. And variety, I think, is huge. And I'm a big fan of that because it, again, opens your eyes to movies from different places, different talents that you otherwise wouldn't see. So I think this is a great festival for that exposure.
Absolutely. Well, we better wrap it up. My movie's seating right now, so. But I have to give you a chance to tell people where they can find your work online. You're one of the hardest working dudes I've seen on the internet. It's pretty fun reading your stuff. Like, you had a really big, like, Stephen King article you released recently.
Ranked every single movie and miniseries based on a Stephen King thing. Yes, there were 73 or 74 or 75 of them. Yeah, I know. Well, it's on Twitter, it's Fake Rob Hunter, and my main site that I write for is Film School Rejects, but I also can occasionally be found at Slash Film and Crooked Marquee, and that Stephen King list is over at Thrillist.com.
Cool. Well, thanks for doing this, Mayan, and appreciate it, and we'll talk with you next time.
Thank you. Please be sure to send me a hard copy of this so I can actually watch it later on. Is that how podcasts work? I don't even know.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
We'll be projecting this in 35mm back home.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing it.